Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It is good to be together. I've been fed a lot this morning. Really have been. Thank you, each one. Sunday school leader, song leader, devotional leader. Thank you. We do sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, don't we? Now, I'm going to move right into a message this morning, and I just want to remind us of some words that Jesus gave to us at the very end of the chapter of Matthew and also some other places. He said this, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth," and he went on, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so, this morning, Jesus has made it to this place, to this end of the world. The teachings of Christ, the gospel has come here. And this morning, we're really going to focus on some words of Jesus. Some things that he taught. He said, I want you to go, and I want these things to be taught even unto the end of the world. And so with that, turn with me back to Matthew chapter 5. I was given an assignment, and you're going to find it here in chapter 5 and verse 39. One of these teachings of Christ, and he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whatsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." And it goes on. And the message title is "Resist Not in Attitude and Action." That's the assignment that I was given. Resist means to oppose or stand firm against. And this verse is telling us, resist not. And not just this verse, Jesus himself is telling us, resist not. Do not oppose evil. "But whatsoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." And what all is wrapped up in those statements? I'd like to try to look at that a little bit this morning. What all is wrapped up in this concept? I'd like to try to touch that this morning. Another thing you'll notice, the words of Christ that I read there at the end of Matthew, in Matthew 28, he said, "And I will be with you." Jesus is saying, here's something that I'm asking of you, and I'm going to be with you. In fact, as we know the life of Christ, as it continues on from this point, we see him living the words that he taught. So what is the concept? Resist not evil. What is this concept? In these verses, Jesus is introducing a new covenant. In these verses, Jesus is introducing a new dispensation. In these verses, Jesus is introducing a new testament. One that is built on the old, but one that rose far above. You see, these new commandments moved from a legal justice system to a heart justification system. That's what's happening here. Let's read some more verses. Matthew 5, verse 21. I'm going to read verse 20. Actually, I'm going to start there in Matthew 5. And I'm going to read through to 48. And let's try to follow along and see what's happening here. "For I say unto you," Jesus said, "that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if I bring thine gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Ye have heard. Notice these. This is the second time now. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not first forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, Jesus says, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Two, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Verses like 21 through 24, that's talking about this thing of not killing. That the person thou shalt not kill, the person who kills is in danger of the judgment. But then we see a development of that. We see a growth of that when Christ says, but I'm saying to you, if you're angry with your brother without cause, I'm saying to you, if you call your brother a fool, you're under this same judgment. These verses like that, and also the verses we just read here in 27 and 28, where it talks about this thing of adultery. It hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you. And Jesus expands that. And so we see in these verses, what is in the heart matters. It was no longer about a line in the sand that just as long as you didn't cross it, as long as you stop short of the act, you could hate your brother if he offended you or if he misused you, but as long as you didn't raise your hand, you had not violated the law. You see, it's no longer what Jesus is bringing out here. What he was confronting the Jewish audience with was that it was no longer about the restraints of the law. You see, the kingdom of heaven is about restored relationships. You'll see it again there in that commandment on adultery. Jesus is going to the heart of the matter here. It's no longer about not crossing that line. It's no longer about just stopping short of that failure. It's about a heart that has a desire to be pure before a holy God. That's what these, it hath been said, but I say unto yous, were all about. This was an introduction, like I just started out with. It was an introduction of a new covenant. It was an introduction of a new dispensation. It's about finding cleansing and forgiveness in Christ, and grace to walk a free man in the heart, and being able to find the fullness in the relationships you're already in. That's what thou shalt not. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, but I say unto you, he that looketh on a woman and desires her, commits adultery, that lust commits adultery already in his heart. Jesus was saying, I'm raising a bar here. I'm calling attention to a higher law. I'm calling attention to a heart condition here. There is a change that's happening here is what was going on. This message, this doctrine of resisting not, or this resist not evil doctrine, or non-resistance that we call it today, truly did turn the world upside down. Jesus confronted the Jews and their religious leaders who had turned the thou shalt nots of scriptures into a legal justice system. One which required lawyers and court systems to decipher. You see, that's what natural man does. He comes to God on his own terms. God had instituted these thou shalt nots, and mankind had taken them and had used them and turned them into a legal justice system whereby they said, well, I really didn't commit adultery. You see, I didn't kill them. Okay, so I'm... But in these verses, Christ cuts through all of that because he took the thou shalt nots and turned them into thou shalts. What once were statements that formed the basis for legal proceedings and cold-hearted justifications are statements that open the door wide to free will proceedings. The renewed heart and mind of the believer's justification. Obedience to the constraints of Christ. Whatever you want to put in there. My children asked me, what's the final four? And I told them to pay attention this morning and they'll find out. And so, if any of your other children were wondering what the final is for, if you'll pay attention now, maybe you can find out. You see, I struggled with helping us myself to understand what was really taking place here. The seriousness, the sheer size, the scope of what was taking place here. And I my mind went to the funnel, and I decided that was God's way of helping me. And so here you have a funnel. And as I thought about this thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, and that word that Jesus was addressing, I pictured mankind out here coming into this funnel, and you see the anger that was in his heart was constrained by a thou shalt not over here. And so as this man struggled with that whole world, he was forced into this funnel, into obedience to this thou shalt not over here. The lust that was in the heart of the man who wanted his neighbor's wife, but he was married, hit that lust. He finally was forced to obey thou shalt not commit adultery, and he wasn't able to do that act. If he was bringing himself into submission, he was brought into this funnel. And as I thought about it, what Jesus was teaching here, he said, you see, there's something that I want you to get a hold of way back here. I want you to be traveling a different direction. This isn't about thou shalt not. This isn't just about not resisting evil. Thou shalt not resist evil, Jesus said. But the whole purpose of that, resisting evil, is to allow you to move out of this funnel into an expanded scope of possibilities. This was about being able to do good to them that hate you. This is about going the second mile. This is about, you see, you're not being squeezed down into this anymore because it's already happened. And Jesus is saying, when this has taken place in your heart, there is an opportunity for you to stand out and to be the servants in my kingdom that I want you to be. And you really desire, you're looking for these opportunities. And I just got that picture. I don't know if you get it or not. But Jesus was trying to help this. Let me ask you a question. Was it really the intent of God to have set up this situation in the first place? I want to say that it wasn't. I want to say that man, because of who he is and the carnality of his flesh, really ended up setting up this system, and he even made it more enhanced as he developed all the little laws and additions to the law give you an example. The verses that we're looking at here, he said, it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Was God really saying, what I want you all to know that, if somebody takes out your eye, you can take out theirs? Is that what God really wanted to see? He was simply saying, there is a sanctity of life here. There must be respect given to each other. There must be care given to each other. We're not going to run around and kill each other. We're not going to abuse each other. Okay, that's what he was teaching. That's what he wanted man to recognize in all of that. But man took it and turned it into a machine. You see, he took my eye out, and so I become consumed with a life of being able to carry that out on this man. And so he becomes consumed with that carnal desire burns in his heart. But God's saying, listen, there's something else I want you all to see here. And it's this new covenant. It's this new thing that I'm creating. There's a change that's taking place here. There's something that I want to happen in the hearts of men and women so that when they get to a place where they're willing to accept wrong, they're willing to accept it. In fact, the Bible goes on to say is that we are honored to accept it for Christ's sake. When that's the case, I enter into an opportunity of life, an opportunity of witness for Christ that I wouldn't have had before. And this funnel becomes a reverse effect of projecting the kingdom of Christ across the nations to the end of this world. I believe that's what's happening here. The disciples didn't even get it yet. Certainly the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those men that were there, publicans, they didn't even comprehend it yet. Jesus was just cracking the door open of what God was going to do in the church today. This morning we are looking at a subject that is broad. You see, it's broad because it is thou shalt instead of thou shalt not. This subject goes beyond resist not. It is much more than just non-resistance, as important as that teaching is. You see, it is love action. Find me some better words. Put together some better phrases for me. But it is love in action. It is not just about disengaging and turning the other cheek, while that is instructed here, but it's about engaging. It's not just about the absence of condemnation. It's about overcoming. Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what Jesus is teaching here. You see, Jesus was introducing a progressive revelation of God and what his ultimate plan for mankind was. Even though the concepts that we are looking at this morning, they can be found back in the Old Testament. God didn't really change here. They can be found there, but they were oppressed and not lived out because the hearts of men were unconverted. They were not yet changed and unable to comprehend and live out these concepts in their everyday lives. That's what we're talking about. You see, this concept of resist not and the correlating response of love action, I see them definitely connected here. Jesus didn't just say, I want you just to resist not evil. But he said, when you're able to do that, then I want you to move into action. So when you are sued at law and the man takes away your cloak, give him your coat also. What does that mean in my life today? When you're required to go a mile, go with him too. You see, this concept of resist not and the correlating response of love action are built squarely upon the New Testament, the New Covenant, the understanding of the two kingdoms which this world is made up today, and finally, the evangelical nature of our work. You see, our Savior is not willing that any would perish, and that's why he has called us to this higher place. We're able to accomplish in the Church of Jesus Christ what the nation of Israel was not able to accomplish. That's what this is about. It is a transfer and a movement from that. You see, we're not being asked to turn the other cheek. We're not being asked to go to the second mile and give up our shirt to a man who's just taken our coat because God takes pleasure in our pain and in our trials. That's not why. No, brothers and sisters, it's far beyond us. By our Christ lives, we point others to Christ who's walked this road before us. as a perfect example. As a perfect example. The one who now lives within us. Amen? That's what this is about. That's what this resist evil, that's what this doctrine of non-resistance and how it's part of such a big scope. It just cracks the door open. It's the way into the funnel. One of the many that you could look at as we think about the new dispensation, as we think about the two kingdoms and so on. And so that was my first point. What is the concept here that we're looking at? And I hope you've got a little piece of that. The second one that I want to look at is resist not evil, and its historical precedent. Where does this all come from? Did other people understand the Word of God as we're understanding it today? And I'd like to just, it's very simple, but I'd just like us to stop. Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to go there. I have a total of 3 points in the message. And it is a warm morning, but I want to keep you all with me as we move together through this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says this, "For what glory is it if a man for conscience' sake towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully? For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, whom when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, this same life of Christ, by whose stripes ye were healed. For now ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." I see this doctrine, this evangelical doctrine that Christ was teaching here, is part of what's bringing us back to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. Because he said, there's very similar words actually over here in Matthew 5. If you do good, if others do good to you and you do good to them, well, that's give and take. That's what the world expects. Everybody does that. Somebody gives you $1 million, you're really nice to them. But what happens when you give them $1,000 and they don't pay it back? What happens then? See, resist not evil, but be willing to give again. That's what's being taught here. And when that's the case, then we have entered into that same relationship of Christ, because that's what he did. And in doing so, we've entered back and our relationship is restored. And so we have Christ. This resist not concept, not only was it taught by Christ, it was lived by Christ. Think about Stephen. There he was. A man who was ordained and he was full of the Spirit, and he taught and he preached and he confronted the religious world of his day, and because of it, they killed him. But just before they got him killed, he was able to pray for them. And he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." See? Not only did he not pick up stones and whirl them back, but he went just a little further yet. And that's what Jesus is talking about. See, Stephen was right here, and he was moving this way into that funnel. And he was able to enter into that. And we know where Stephen's at today. Let's think about, I want to just read you a couple writings of some early church fathers, Justin Martyr being one of them. You've probably heard of him before. He said this, "We who used to value acquisition of wealth and possessions more than anything else, now bring what we have into a common fund and share it with anyone who needs it. We who used to hate and destroy one another and refuse to associate with people of another race or country, now because of Christ, we live together with such people and pray for our enemies." They understood this teaching. They had gotten it. The Church of Christ really was established in 160 AD. Continue on to Cyprian, 250 AD. The Christian has departed from rage and carnal contention, as if from the hurricanes of the sea. He has already begun to be tranquil and meek in the harbor of Christ. Therefore, he should allow neither anger nor discord within his breath, for he must neither return evil for evil nor bear hatred. A man who had understood this gospel that's being presented to us. Think about our Anabaptist forefathers for just a little. You see, the rediscovery of Bible truth and obedience separated our Anabaptist forefathers from the Roman Church and other reformers around. And some of the key areas of those being, see, this non-resistance doesn't stand off by itself, but believers' baptism and voluntary church membership and the priesthood of believers. That's you and I, brothers and sisters. We actually become sons and daughters of God with the ability to read the word, understand it, and apply it into our lives and be directed by the Spirit of God. See, that all connects with this. It's not of it separated. And also, of course, non-resistance. And there's probably others. But this was part of the rediscovery of truth where the church sprang again into new life and movement. You see, they understood that the state, our Anabaptist forefathers' earthly governments, are ordained of God, but they are outside the perfection of Christ. I liked that statement. It helped me understand it, put it into words so clearly in a little nutshell. They're ordained of God, but they're outside of the perfection of Christ. And you and I, brothers and sisters, are either here in the perfection of Christ, channeling out through this funnel, or we're yet on the other side of it trying to come back in this way. And I see that we need to understand that distinction. I'll read just a few more quotes yet from my handy little book here. Conrad Grebel, founder of the Swiss Brethren Church, wrote in September 1524, "True believing Christians are as sheep in the midst of wolves. They use neither the worldly sword nor engage in war, since among them taking human life has ceased entirely, for we are no longer under the old covenant." Very well said. Dirk Phillips testified that the people of the Lord arm themselves not with carnal weapons, but with the armor of God, with the weapons of righteousness, and with Christian patience, with which to possess their souls and overcome all their enemies. These men died for their faith. Were they overcomers or weren't they? They were. They were overcomers. Menno Simons wrote, "The regenerated do not go to war nor engage in strife. They are the children of peace and know of no war. They render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things which are God's. Their sword is the sword of the Spirit, which they yield with a good conscience through the Holy Ghost." I just thought those were so well said. And they come from the Bible. It's just man's words, ways of expressing some of the very scriptures that are in the Bible, and we could go and look at them. But I wanted you to connect to the spectrum of this understanding and belief. And so now we come much closer home. We come much closer home, don't we, this morning? The rest of the history of this country, and read of the history in this country where men have lived out these principles. Think about some of our forefathers. I want to go, first of all, back to a man, a story that I've been impressed with and read not so long ago, and that was Nate Saint and some of the Jim Elliott and some of those men who were working there in the jungles of South America. And some of those men really did come from backgrounds of Air Force. They were part of the armed forces of the United States, but they had a vision and a heart for the gospel and seeing it brought to these tribes. And it was so interesting to see them. As they were there and caught up in that work for a number of years, there was a separation that happened there where they ended up laying down the carnal weapons. They really did think about taking guns with them into that situation because they really were fearful for their lives. But they chose not to. They understood that the kingdom could only be established not with bullets, but with a sacrifice that went even further than any of them expected, but yet they were willing to do it, I believe. And that was with their blood. They died on that little island. They were killed on that little sandbar. Their plane was destroyed. Okay. But the gospel came to those people. Were they overcomers or weren't they? And so those are testimonies of this principle today. And I think about our forefathers here in this land. I think about those who went through some of the difficulties they did in World War I and World War II. But it comes much closer than that yet, doesn't it? What happened to you last week? What happened to us last week? Where were we tested in this thing of resist not evil? Oh, what about that business plan? What about those monies that are owed? What about those words that are said? And we struggle with these things. You see, this brings us to a sobering question, and very close to my last point. How are we doing today? What will history tell of us? How will we be judged? And most importantly, how will we be judged? Can we connect to the admonition of Apostle Paul? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who was willing to take upon him the form of a servant. And those verses go on. You see, we can come dangerously close this morning. Listen along with me. We can become dangerously close to those Pharisees of which Jesus said in Luke 11:42, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not left the others undone." You see, the possibility exists for us today to be able to get caught up in a lot of little things that make up who we are and miss this great, important, foundational doctrine of the Church of Christ, of Christ himself. How have we made these principles of the kingdom of God? Have we made these principles of the kingdom of God established here in Matthew our own? We have the strength and the example of heritage, tradition, and faith all around us. But have we made these principles our own? Are they in my heart? Are they in your heart? And how's that applying to your life? If not, if we haven't taken them into our heart, they have become a law to us once again. And in that world, we begin to set up legal arguments, we compare ourselves among ourselves, and find ways to justify our actions and responses, don't we? That's what happens. And so suddenly we find ourselves traveling backwards into this funnel, and we end up in that situation again. And so my last point, resist not evil in attitude and action. One writer said this, to fight the external battle well, the Christian must first engage in internal warfare. That is so true. This isn't just one of them moments where all of a sudden you're able to respond right and you realize that you've won a battle for Christ out here somewhere. But it starts on our knees. It starts in our hearts. It starts back here. I don't know if I've wore this out yet or not, but it starts back here and it comes out. And it comes out. And the opportunities are there before us. So what is an attitude? An attitude is an opinion or general feeling about something. I'd like to say this morning that this thing of resist not evil attitudes, it has all to do about our feelings. And men, we have them too. Now, some of us wear them a little more on the sleeves than others. And some of us act like we don't have any. And in so doing, we probably show it off more. But it certainly is a part of this side of the house as well. Feelings get hurt. Resist not evil in our attitudes. That's where it connects back to that thought I just shared. It starts internally and then can transfer to our external. This is about our feelings. This is internal warfare. Jesus was teaching a concept in which he was also empowering. He was providing the grace, the example, and all that's needed for that. This morning, we can have confidence in that. And we find this victory in our attitudes, in crying out to him. Many times, this only comes by tears and repentance. This attitude, the anger that can simmer in our hearts, the bitterness that gets hold of us, and it turns and it grinds. Jesus is saying, that's what I'm talking about. I want you to resist not evil in that. And not just put it to rest, but then figure out how you can send the flowers and show your love. Figure out how you can, put the roof on or something. Just find a way Find a way. What about this thing of actions? The process, what is this? Resist not evil in actions. The process of doing something in order to achieve a purpose. This is more, see, action is more than just a reaction. It's more than just a reaction. It is a choice to do something. It is a choice to either do evil or to do good. That's an action. And resist not evil in our actions. Resist not evil by doing evil. And that is a choice. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, back to those verses we started from. We should look. There's some very practical teaching in there. I just want to touch on. We'll look at Romans 12 a little bit as well, and then maybe we'll close in 1 Peter 2. The Bible has a lot to say about this, actually, this thing of resisting not evil in actions. Verse 42 says this, verse 45 of Matthew 5. Jesus is saying all of this, loving your enemies, blessing them that curse you, doing good to them that hate you in 44, praying for them which despitefully use you. Then he says this in verse 45. Why? So that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he causes his rain to come on the just and on the unjust. And what God's telling us is not just like, oh God, I'm one of your just, thank you for your rain, and I see you're giving some to the unjust too, that's okay. God's saying, just remember, there was a day when you were unjust, and I kept raining on you. There was a day when you were evil, and I shone my sun upon you. And he's saying, just remember, that's who I am. And God desires us to be his children and manifest that to the world. That is what God's calling us to do. Romans also... This thing of, maybe before I go to Romans, I'll just say this. As I think about where we're at, as I think about our society, I can't help but think that this generation, there was probably two or three generations ago where they really did face some fire in this choice of non-resistance. In this call to non-resistance. And they had some tough choices to make. And our fathers ended up in CPS camps doing work away from their families and away from their wives and those kinds of things because of one area of this resisting not evil where they chose not to go into military service, could not do so in good conscience. But I believe, I'm not sure that we'll be tested in that exact way, but I believe that as this society breaks down, as it becomes more and more violent and unrestrained, as you see that curve coming down, and you see another curve trend coming up where there is no, where there is, right now there is an acceptance yet of religious thought of the believers. But I believe that that curve is also trending the other way. There is an anti-God spirit that is rising today. And I really believe that those two are going to intersect. And this generation is going to face a real test in this. Because what are you going to do when they come and take the potatoes out of your garden? We haven't been tested like that yet, have we? You know, it's one thing to take the pain of a thousands of dollar loss in your business. That's one thing. But what about when it's affecting, it's even affecting my, that which is, I raised that in my garden. I don't know what it might be in your case, but what are we going to do when there's no longer anyone to defend us? I don't want to be I'm not trying to bring unnecessary fear. That's not my point here. Maybe I've elaborated enough on that. But I would like to suggest this morning that we have lived in a cushion of time. We have gotten soft and we've gotten a little fat. And I believe the tests are going to come that will test this very thing. Will we be able to? Let's be let's be faithful in it today. You know, First Thessalonians 5:15 says this, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So, if my neighbor isn't causing me much trouble today, then let's make sure that we're really doing well with this thing in the church. Let's make sure that we're crossing, let's make sure that we're grading A+ in wherever areas we are being tested today. Because that test may very well come. Well, let's go to Romans 12 and look at a few verses there, and then we'll move on and bring this to a close. Romans 12, verses 12 and 13. "Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Recompense, 17, to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." That's another concept that we need to understand, that God is the judge and will execute judgment. Verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And you know, part of me said that I should have extensive lists as we think about resisting not in attitude and action, of real practical areas for us to think about. And I've tried to touch on a few. But this morning, it seems to me that when this is part of our hearts and our lives, when we have arrived at this place, we will know where that test is. We will find the opportunities to show the love of Christ without me trying to warn you about all the ways that you might be tested in it, because we don't even know what all that might be yet. But we see these simple teachings here. They're simple. We can read them and understand them. We can apply them to our lives. Let's continue on. Let's go back to 1 Peter. I just want to look at a few verses there. 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. "For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." I think I referred to that verse before. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." I already did look at those verses. But again, it's calling into account, calling us, reminding us of the one who went before us and served as that perfect example. 1 Peter 3:17 says this, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ hath also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being quickened by the Spirit." So I ask you today, I ask myself today, these closing thoughts, I ask you, think of your life today. Do you see your mind? Do you see your heart being narrowed and squeezed into a funnel of necessity, of duty? Or even more seriously yet, carnal failure. Do you see your life operating more? Or, may I ask you, do you see your life operating more where the commandment gives you a release and direction to expand out, touching men's heart with the redemptive gospel of Christ, that gospel that's residing in your heart. Is that where you're at this morning? I think it's I would like to ask us to measure ourselves as we go from this place, as we think about this concept, resisting not evil, in our relationships, in our attitudes, in our actions. Hebrews 12:14 says this, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let's allow that sober warning to motivate us in this area, this opportunity of resisting not, but not just stopping there, but expanding out from there in service, in showing the evangelical work of Christ in our lives. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and we thank you most of all that you're the God who you are, that you reigned on us while we were unjust. You shone your Son upon us while we were yet evil. And we thank you for that love and for that mercy. And we thank you too, Lord, for this teaching, this understanding that you desire to do a work in our hearts that will allow us to be freed from the bitterness of anger and of retaliation, and allow us to enter into a life of opportunity of service, a life of love, a life of sharing the good news of Christ because of what you've done in our lives. Oh God, you know how easy it is for us to become hurt in our feelings, to become bitter, to become angry, to become carnal in our thought processes, and how it's so easy for us to be entrapped and snared in that. And I pray that you would help us to understand, first of all, this great doctrine that you brought to us through Christ and his life and his perfect example and his providing salvation for us. And then help us show that to the societies around us. Give us wisdom, give us grace, and give us strength. Bless this brotherhood and guide us and direct us from this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.